Good morning, everybody. Please be seated. This morning, we turn toward God. We listen to His word. We bow before His majesty. We strive to do His will. We thank Him for His gifts, and we worship Him. We're going to sing now our first song, number 127, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Glorious things of Thee are spoken.
Let us pray. O Lord, as we come into your house this morning, we pray that you might be with us and that our hearts might be open to listen to your message for us today. We ask your forgiveness for the lack of hope we have in God's promises, how we often turn towards self instead of turning toward you, how we listen to the world instead of listening to you, how we bow before the glitter of material things instead of bowing before the majesty of God, how we strive to do the will of the devil instead of striving to do the will of God. We earnestly beg God's mercy, and we humbly thank you, Lord, for giving us yet another chance. Amen. Steve is now going to read to us from the Gospel of Luke.
Luke chapter 12, verses 32 to 40. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him. Master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn, blessed are those. But know this: if the owner of the house had known you also at an unexpected hour." This is the word of God.
Thank you, Steve. Our next song is number 103. It's "Father, You Are My Portion in This Life." I don't think we particularly know this one, so I've actually got it on YouTube. So we've got somebody to sing along with. So let us stand and sing this song. going to say a few words about money this morning. Always a dangerous subject to talk about in church, isn't it? But in that passage that Steve read to us, we're told about putting treasure into heaven. One of the problems that we have is money. We can get consumed by worries about money. I think at the moment in our lives, we're all worried about how we're going to pay our energy bills over the next year. And Jesus, when he talks about storing up treasure, isn't saying that we don't need to look after ourselves. Jesus talks a lot about money in our Bibles because he knew that so many people worry about money. He didn't say that money in itself is bad. Of course it isn't. We all need money to buy the things that we need to live. But what Jesus did say was that if we love money too much, that is what is bad. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But what does that mean? Suppose you treasure above all other things a possession. Maybe it's your car. We probably have seen people who every Sunday morning religiously go out and they wash and they polish their car. They don't come to church. They spend their time with their prized possession, their car, making it gleam. And should it get a scratch, oh dear. But there are many things that we can put our hearts into, can't we? We've been watching the Commonwealth Games this week. Some of those sportsmen and sportswomen, all that they do in their lives is sport. They get up in the early hours of the morning to start practicing. They practice all day, all the time. They're practicing their sport because their aim in life is to get that gold medal. And getting that medal can become more important than anything else in life. What Jesus is telling us is that if we put money ahead of everything else, then it's not a good way to live. What he's actually telling us is if we put anything ahead of God in our lives, and our love for God and the love for our neighbours, then it's not a good way to live. Suppose we actually put our love of God and our belief in our Bible ahead of anything else. Would that be a good way to live? Of course it would. It would be the best way to live. And our Bible tells us to treasure God, to tell him that he lives in our hearts. And we're told to do that first. And then the worries of the world get put into their place. And we can live better lives because we're concerned about God. We treasure God in our hearts and nothing else. We're now going to pray for our offerings. As we know, we don't circulate the plate in church these days. Many people give direct from their bank accounts into the church bank account. But we do have plates at the front and the rear if you wish to give an offering. But what we do need to do each Sunday is to give thanks to God for all that he's done for us and ask him to bless what we bring back to God in terms of our money offering, but also in terms of our offering of our love to God and our offering of our love to our neighbours. So let's pray and give thanks. Our Lord God, we thank you for all your blessings upon us. In these days of inflation and worry of interest rates and energy bills, so many of us find that money is causing us to lose focus on you. Help us to look to you. Help us to give thanks for all that you have done for us. And we bring the offerings of money, of ourselves, of our love to you today. And we ask that you will use them and that you will use us in order to further your kingdom in your world. Amen. Mary is going to come and read to us from Psalms.
Thank you. To 22. On all who dwell on the earth, actions or the hearts of them. By a mighty army. A strong man is not delivered by his great strength. The horse is a vain hope for deliverance. For all its strength it cannot save. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, on those who wait upon his love, to pluck their lives from death and to feed them in time of famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Indeed, our hearts rejoice in him, for in his holy name we put our trust. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us as we have put our trust in you.
Reading reminds us that we can be happy if we put our trust in the Lord. And our next hymn, Blessed Assurance. The word blessed is used a lot in the Bible, but what does it actually mean? In the Beatitudes, where it talks about blessed are the poor and that. What it actually, the word it really means is happy, happiness. It's saying despite all of these things, we can be happy. We can be happy because of the trust we have in God, the assurance that God brings to us in our lives. So we're now going to sing number 44, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Spirit washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of altar, death on my side. Of mercy, sent of God. My story, this is my song. This is my Savior, all my way long. This is my story, this is my song. All the day long, blessing my Savior, all is at rest. I am the Savior, and God be the rest. This is my story, this is my song. All the day long, this is my story, this is my song. This is the Savior all the day long.
So the being traditional today, I've chosen a verse for us to think about. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But first of all, I'm going to talk about holidays and going on holiday and hotels. How do you choose where you're going to go on holiday? Do you go to websites? You think that would be a nice place to go and stay? I don't know whether anybody can recognise it. It's London, and outside the window there is actually the London Eye. You can see from your bedroom window. It's in the Savoy Hotel, that one. Yeah. I think that one's something like £15,000 a night, and I think... Yeah. Spend a week there before we go somewhere really nice. But, that's one of the bathrooms there. But maybe your holiday accommodation is that a bit more realistic? Well, how about, you know, those are 4 and 5 star hotels and things and everything else that we've just looking at. But how about this one? This is called the 0 star hotel. It's in Switzerland. It's about £250 a night to go and stay there. But point I'm getting to is that wherever we stay, and that one's situated next to a gas station, and apparently it's 0 star, and the reviews say it lives up to its reputation. But wherever we go, wherever we sleep, you know, it doesn't mean that we're going to have a good night's sleep, does it? How often do we find we have a restless night's sleep? Over the last few weeks, when the temperatures have been high, have you found it difficult to sleep? None of us are spared sleepless nights. And when we have a sleepless night, often we will be thinking about all the worrying things of life, won't we? And that doesn't help us get back to sleep either. You know, and how many of us have woken up at sort of 3 o'clock in the morning from a bad dream and in a cold sweat, wondering how to get through whatever crisis is knocking at our door? But as Christians, we have a clear path to the peace of mind we desperately crave. And part of this is about building up treasure in heaven. Jesus wants us to keep awake to the reality that the only way we can find true meaning in our lives is through God. When we wake up in the middle of the night and we're worrying about all of these things, do we think to turn to God and think on God? Sometimes as Christians, we're great at talking the talk. You know, those are church meetings where we spent hours and hours talking about things over weeks and months, but never getting round to do anything. We communicate, or what we should be doing is communicating with one another about how God has acted in our lives. Now, don't get too worried. I'm not going to point at somebody and say, come up here, but if I did, would you be able to come and tell us all about a point in your life where God was really there with you? I'm sure if we pause and we think, all of us can think of that moment in our life when everything seemed to be on top of us. We didn't know which way to turn, which way to go. But when we paused and we looked to God, the answer was there. When I was about 28, 29, just before I got married. So I lived in Worcester Park, lived with my mother there, went to church. I've been going to this church in Worcester Park for many years. I've been in the Boys Brigade for many years. And I walked up my way in the ranks, and I was at this point, officer in charge of the company section. And I was being groomed to take over as captain of the Boys Brigade Company. And it scared me rigid. And there was somebody else who'd come along about 12 months before and had come from Birmingham, actually. Moved down from Birmingham, and he'd been in the Boys Brigade for a long time, and he was there. And he'd been working in the company for a year. And I thought he'd be much better as captain than I would. And I spent sleepless nights worrying about it. And one day I went and had a conversation with him, because I was worried, because he was saying they were moving away. And when I had the conversation with him, it turned out he was moving away because he felt he was getting in my way. I remember we walked the streets around his together saying, what should we do? And we said, well, we need to go and talk to the current captain of the Boys Brigade. So we went and spoke to him. And what happened? My friend became captain. I became second in command. I'm a much better person as second in command, if I can put it that way. I'm a much better adjutant than captain, anyway. But there was three of us involved in that situation, and we were all thinking it through. And the problem was, none of us was actually talking to each other about what we were really feeling. None of us were talking to each other about what God was saying to us. We need to talk to each other, listen to each other, and find out where God is leading us. The time comes when we need some tangible way of expressing what we're trying to say to God, though. From the earliest biblical times, people have used material things to indicate where they stood in their relationship with God. For example, in Old Testament times, hard-working farmers at harvest would contribute a minimum of 10% of his grain as a way of saying, this is how I feel about what God has done for my family and me and my harvest. Then, as economic systems evolved, believers began to bring money rather than goods. We probably all heard about, this concept of 10% called tithing, but many of us are frightened to do that. We're frightened to put God first. What we actually say is we will look at all the things that we need. Can we go back to that slide, the one with the needs and the costs slide a bit earlier, Stephanie? Now, going back from the earlier bit of the talk, you want me to try and that's the one. That's what I'm saying. You know, when we've sorted all of those things out, then we will look at what we've got left and we'll give some of that to God. So that's not actually what the Bible says. The Bible says that what we should actually do is put God first and then trust God. And of the reading that Mary read, it said, "Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us as we have put our trust in you." Okay, if we can go back to the little pigeonholes. The reason I put that up there, New Testament times, they'd actually moved on. I know there's only 12 there. I couldn't find a picture with 13 on. But in the temple in Jesus' time, they used to have 13 offering boxes. And they all had different labels on. And the point was, there was an annual budget for the temple and the religious establishment, and it was divided into 13 categories. And you could come in and decide which of the 13 you wanted to support. If you didn't like the preacher, you didn't have to give any money towards his salary. You could put your money in some other box. Sometimes we feel like that with the government and tax, don't we? We don't mind putting our money, the government spending our money on that, but we don't see why they should be spending the money on those people over there to do that. Jesus was in the temple one day and he saw people bringing their money. And what he was seeing was the rich ones coming in with their bags of money and putting, you know, making sure they had lots of coins so that when they put their offering in the box, it made a lot of noise. And Jesus saw that most of the people coming into the temple were giving out of their abundance. But then a poor woman came along and dropped in 2 copper coins. If we remember the widow, the widow's mite. And Jesus said, she had put in more than anybody else. She had put in more than everybody else combined. It was only 2 copper coins. It was very minimal value, but it was the woman's entire treasure. She was giving everything she had to God, trusting in God. She gave herself unconditionally. That's how she felt about God. So, how do we approach giving to God? How should we approach giving to God? I'm not going to tell you. Because it's not me who should tell you. We come back to that verse, store up your treasure in heaven. What we should be doing is talking to God, listening to God, and from that conversation, we should be giving to God what he is telling us to give. Listening to God.
brings us off. It brings us on to another thought, coming us back. In the summer of 1845, a guy called Henry Thoreau built a small cabin in the woods. And he stayed there for 2 years and 3 months. I went to the woods, he wrote, because I wished to live deliberately, to confront only the essential facts of life and see if I could learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I did not wish to live what was not life. Nor did I wish to practice resignation unless it was quite necessary. I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to live so sturdily and Spartan-like as to root out all that was not life. And we all know through history of people who have put aside all worldly things and have gone into monasteries, have lived as hermits and everything else, putting aside the world. I'm not looking here and saying we should all go and live in a monastery or a nunnery or whatever the equivalent would be today. Henry spent time there, and he learnt from his time there of introspection and listening to God, talking to God, what God was calling him to do and how to live. It took him 2 years and 3 months. It may take me or you a lifetime, or it may take us just a few hours, but what we need to do is to open ourselves, talk and listen to God. He actually died at the age of 45 of tuberculosis, and he knew he was going to die. And during the months of what we would now call terminal illness, the truth he had learned in his experience living in the cabin in the woods was confirmed. Every moment of life is priceless, was the lesson he learned. When a friend tried to get him to speculate on life after death, he is reported to have said, "One world at a time." We often say we will live one day at a time, don't we? But he actually said, "One world at a time." We need in this life to be living the life that God wants us to live in order to store up that treasure in heaven. And if we're storing up treasure in heaven, we don't need to worry about the next life. What we need to worry about is what God is calling us to live in this world. God is calling us to live in this world today. Jesus said we can be glad and rejoice. In Psalm 118 it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Can you rejoice in each day, whatever the day is? We need to let God be the love of our lives.
Why is it that we live so little in the glorious moments God gives us one by one? Why do we fail to be happy and trust in God? Yes, none of us are spared from those sleepless nights. But as Christians, we have a path to the peace of mind we desperately crave. As Christians, we know that Jesus wants us to keep awake to the reality that the only way we can find true meaning for our lives is through God. We're now going to sing a hymn which you'll say, but we only sing this one at night. The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended. Over the years, we've stopped worshipping coming to church in an evening service. And therefore, hymns like this one, we tend not to sing. But this hymn reminds us that God gives us every day of our life. That when our day, when our day comes to an end, somewhere else in the world, it's the beginning of a day. God gives us each and every day to live and to love each other in. So we're now going to sing this hymn, The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, is Ended. And somewhere in the world, it is dusk.
spirits are making thy wonders doing on high. Shall never like a sprout empire's pass away. Thy kingdom stands, looks forever to all. Prayers of intercession. When we pray to God that he will intercede in our lives and the lives of those around us and the lives of everywhere in this world, things that are on our mind. Last Sunday morning we had a cafe church style service led by Martin upstairs, and part of that service was thinking about who and what we should pray for. We've still got to get the maps up, but there is the prayer board at the back of the church there on the left, on that side over there, where people pin things for thoughts of prayer. We also have a monthly prayer sheet, okay, where you can pick one of these up at the back of the church if you haven't got one. There will be another one out in the next couple of weeks, where we put on thoughts for prayer. If there is anything that you want to be prayed for, then put something on the board there, or you can let Stephanie know and she will make sure it goes on to this sheet. We are called by God to pray. And prayer is one of the ways we build up treasure in heaven. Sometimes we feel helpless and powerless. And that's when God tells us to pray harder. When we feel there is nothing that we can do, that's when we can pray. So let us pray now. We pray for our country and the world. We pray for peace and justice in the world. In the Ukraine, in China, Taiwan, in the Middle East, all of those places where there is conflict in this world. We pray for peace and justice in our own country. This last week or so, our news has been full of the boy who, should he be allowed to die? His parents wanted him so much to live. The doctors said he had no hope. We need to pray for his parents and parents in similar situations. We need to pray for the doctors and nurses who look after those in such situations and who have to make desperate decisions
decisions that they wish they didn't have to make, decisions that we would ourselves never want to make. We pray for hope centres and food banks, their staff, and all of those who are looking after the homeless in our country and across the world. We pray for the street pastors, for their work and what they do, trying to bring hope to those who feel life is hopeless. We pray for God's guidance for our relationships as we walk together, for encouragement, for hope, for vision. We pray for those who are awaiting operations, those who've had treatment delayed because of COVID or other conditions or staff problems. We pray for those who wait for test results. The anxiety of not knowing. We pray for those and give thanks for those who are recovering in hospital. We pray for those who need support. We pray especially for our friend Donald in the rehabilitation centre. We pray that he might find sufficient recovery, that he might be able to return to some more normal way of living. We remember others like him. Those of us who have got elderly parents who are having trouble living. We pray for those who are on holiday at this time of year, for the school children, for the school teachers, wanting recovery, that they might be renewed and re-strengthened. We pray for all of those who care for others, for those at Bethany, at the Methodist Homestead, at St. Christopher's, St. Crispin's, for other care homes. We pray for those who meet in our church, in our services, in our meetings, but also others who come in to use the premises for such things as exercise. We just pray that as they come in, they might be challenged by our presence. We give thanks for Romeo, his service last week in the Methodist circuit. And we pray for him and his family as they move to Sheffield to take up their new position. We give thanks that we are able to raise money and give money for Christian aid, for missionary societies. We pray for those who will be taking part in Ride and Stride in September. O Lord, we call upon you, my God, for you will answer me. We turn our ears to you and ask that you hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken, for others and for ourselves. We just pray that we might feel your loving arms enfolding us. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and evermore. Amen. Our last hymn, praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. If we trust in God, whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in, we can still praise God because Jesus is our blessed Redeemer. Let us sing. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing our God, tell it with joy, ye faithful. Where is now thy victory?
victory boasting grain. Jesus lives, no longer thy portals are cheerless. Jesus lives, the mighty and strong to save. One more verse, Janet. Finish then thy new creation, true and spotless, let us be. Let us see the grace of heaven perfectly restored in thee, change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, hope, and praise. Well, that was different, wasn't it? Yes. If fit, we made it fit. And it, actually, I thought it was good words to go on the end there. We go into the world as faithful servants of the Lord who have willingly accepted the gift of hope in the unforeseen. Let us try to convince our brothers and sisters everywhere that they can expect the unexpected from a God who keeps his promises. And that was unexpected. And we're now going to finish by singing together, Peace, Joy, Love.
May God's blessings surround you each day as you trust Him and walk in His ways. May His presence within guarantee you from sin. Go in peace, go in joy, go in love.
Blessing into your week ahead. Amen.
Thank you.